It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
How are you?
I'm well.
And where are you?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Jorge Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK and WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here and checking out the series. I do hope you hit the subscribe button so you can keep up with all the episodes that we put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, three a week, to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover the new ones at all the places that you can subscribe. That includes Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Recent episodes have included artists like Madison Beer and Fosia, Bethany Cosentino of Best Coast. We talked about the movie They Clone Tyrone with Jewel Taylor and Tony Rattenmeier. We talked about the movie Heart of Stone with Matthias Schweighofer and Tom Harper. Also, we had Emily Kinney drop by, Lucinda Williams, Ian Hunter from Mott the Hoople, Janelle Monáe, Bruno Major, Keanu Reeves, the cast of Minx, Dylan Arnold, who talked about Oppenheimer, and tons more. That's just a few of the guests and an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, legendary singer, songwriter, Barry Manilow. We're going to be talking about lots of things. He's currently out on tour, so we're definitely going to get into that. He's going to tell us about the money he donates to high school music programs on each stop of this tour. We'll dig into his love of melodies and how that was the cause of his success as a commercial jingle writer, and his love of electronic artists like Underworld, Fatboy Slim, and Claptone. Barry's also going to discuss his most recent record, Night Songs 2, came out in 2020. His musical Harmony, it's been kicking around for about 20 years, finally making its premiere on Broadway. And we'll get the stories behind his debut album, which turns 50 this year, and Manilow sings Sinatra, that turns 25. Not only that, but you're going to get a little news on his next projects that include a pop album and a Christmas LP as well. All that and more. This is a fun one, and I'm so honored to do it. It's Kyle Meredith with Barry Manilow.
Hey, Kyle, it's Barry Manilow. I like how you pronounce it, Louisville, because nobody else would unless you live there, right?
you really Louisville. Do pick that up pretty quickly. I moved here. I mean, I'm from Kentucky anyway.
I have to do that when I'm on stage. I can't say Louisville. I can't do that. It's got to be Louisville, right?
Louisville, you got it. So you got it, though. Right, it sounds really good. Well done.
Right.
Well, let me say, first off, we are excited to have you back in town August 21st at the KFC Yum Center. And I wanted to, because you know, not only do you have the pronunciation down, but part of this tour, right, that you've been doing that I wanted to hit really quickly is giving money to music teachers and supporting music programs in schools. And we had one of the, beneficiaries of that. And his name's Doug Elmore, right across the river in southern Indiana at Floyd Central High School. And $10,000. This is something you've been doing for a while, right?
Yeah, we have. Well, you know, I've been doing this contest thing is new. Mm-hmm. But the Manilow Music Project, we formed that about 15 years ago, maybe more. Because I got a phone call from a friend, and he said that he needed a sax for his daughter because they didn't have a sax in her high school. I said, they didn't have a sax? I don't know, what does that mean? And when I started to poke around about it, sure enough, all the high schools in the country are struggling for musical instruments because they don't get any money from the government anymore. So music and arts are, you know, are struggling all over the country. And the music department, well, you know, these kids are playing broken down instruments. Or, you know, they're looking for everything. They need everything. They need music stands. They need robes for the choir. But these kids are still, they send me videos, these kids are still loving music classes. They just love it. It becomes their second family. They walk in and they're kind of geeky when they walk in. And when they walk out, they have become musicians. Mm-hmm. And it does change a kid's life. And it's all because of these music teachers. They kill themselves. They go out and buy instruments for the kids by themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, it just moved me so much. So I've been doing something every time we go on the road, either I'm giving out pianos on one tour and begging the audiences to give us some instruments if they're in their, they're collecting dust in their attic or their basement. But this year we decided to do a contest. And I've been doing that for a couple of tours. And it's just great. Like you said, I give them some money. I meet them backstage, and I say hello to their families and their friends, and then I introduce them from the audience. And it's just great to watch these music teachers who are usually ignored to become heroes for a whole evening. I just love doing it.
The music programs I had growing up, and it did make me reconsider that and think about it and just what I was exposed to at that time, because you know, we did some popular songs at the time, but there was so much history that I learned from them as well, and you know, choir and troubadours and things like that, and just opening that door to a different style of songwriting, of melody, which I think is something that you've studied, you know, that you are quite the scholar at, you know. And
well, you know, for me, you're right. I love a melody. I'm very good at it. And every time I try to do something that's atonal, you know, I start off being a little atonal, and by the end, everybody's singing along with it, and I can't stop myself because, I love a melody. You know, I go back to Gershwin and Cole Porter and all those guys that, you know, my stepfather showed me when I was younger. And those were the kinds of songwriting that I loved. I loved, you know, great melodies. And so I've always tried to do that. That, you know, that's why I was pretty popular in doing commercials. Because I don't know if you know, I used to write commercials when I started off. And the trick to writing a hit commercial is a catchy melody, and that's what I learned. And then when I got my a record deal, well, that went right into pop music. Because the trick, well, it used to be a trick to a hit record is a catchy melody. They call it the hook, and you know, and that's what I love doing. So that's, you know, a melody. Yeah, you give me a melody, I'm a happy guy.
And I know you still, you know, listen to all the different styles and everything, but I try not to be pessimistic, but it does feel like, and maybe it's just eras and phases, but But I do feel like sometimes, and maybe we're in it now, maybe not, but there's a lot of pop artists who don't subscribe to that same thing. Like, melody isn't the driver for a lot of songs.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, do you hear that in modern music? Do you still find that in any way, or are you sort of in the camp that I'm at right now?
I don't find it because I stopped listening. I couldn't bear it. It was about great rhythm. You got to give them the producers credit. They really figured out a way of making wonderful sounding records. But it's not based on melody. It's really based on great rhythm. You know, all these great loops and sounds that you can get from your computer. It's just wonderful. But what's happening on top of those great loops? Well, it doesn't move me at all. I'm still looking for a great melody, so I can only listen for so long.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Barry Manilow. But that great rhythm, you incorporate some electronic music into your show in some surprising ways.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's interesting because I hope I'm right, but this show, even though I'm singing songs that, you know, that I recorded many years ago, from my ears, it doesn't sound like an oldies show because I've never let them sit there, and I never do them the way I did the records. Oh, sure, I do the layout of all the songs. The sound of the songs, I've upgraded them every 5 to 10 years. And, you know, they don't sound like an oldie show. They just sound more contemporary than they would have if I hadn't listened to all the stuff that I love. Like, you know, I don't know if you know, but I love electronica. Mm-hmm. I really do. You know, Underworld and Fatboy Slim and all that stuff. And I always incorporate a little bit of their you know, I was doing an interview once, and I mentioned Claptone. Have you ever heard of this bunch of guys called Claptone? They're great. You know, what was that group that won the two guys with the masks on?
Daft Punk. Yeah.
Daft Punk. They're very much like Daft Punk. Only I think that they have better melodies than Daft Punk. Daft Punk had wonderful rhythms, like I say. But this group, Cap Clapton, you should look them up. So anyway, I mentioned it in a few interviews, and they called me. And they're from Germany, yes. And to thank me for mentioning their names. And they said, you know, do you have any songs that we can play with? And I sent them a song that I wasn't using that I thought they would like. And they did. And they made a Clapton version of that song, and I think it's even on Spotify. Anyway, Claptone, you know, is a typical example of the kind of stuff that I really do like. They're full of melody, but a lot of great rhythm stuff.
Well, there's an interesting reciprocal talking about generational thing going on with a lot of those groups too. I mean, Groove Armada, you know, I think about their song At the River, where they do, you know, if you dream of sand dunes and salty air, and
they don't go any further.
Right. Disclosure, they did Where Angels Fear to Tread. I mean, I feel like there is this generational thing that you've tapped into them, but they've also tapped into, you know, the same stuff, the same well that you're pulling from.
That's true. Even further back than me, but you're right. They're finding these. Well, here you go again with the hook. Mm-hmm. They're finding these great melodic hooks, and they can play around with them, and they do. It's great.
And to hit on, you know, your most recent album, talking about not letting, you know, the dust settle on a lot of these songs and updating them, but Night Songs too was so good. I love your version of Lush Life. I've always loved that song quite a bit.
Great.
And
that was not a commercial. Not for me. That was just, you know, something that I've always wanted to do. I did two of them, and I would do a million of them if I could. It's just me, as you know, just me sitting at the piano, and then I put a synthesized bass underneath it. And I just love singing those wonderful songs that came way before me, standards like that. I'm glad that you know about that.
In fact, if you could do 50 more of those, I think I would be just as happy. I've got one. I'm gonna use this moment that most people don't get to make one request. If you're doing Night Songs of that era, and correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think you've ever done it, but Why Try to Change Me Now is one of my all-time favorites.
Cy Coleman. Oh, a great one.
Yeah,
that's a great one. Yes, that's a great Cy Coleman.
Yeah.
Man, Cy Coleman. He was the shit, wasn't he?
Very much was the shit.
He was.
And I think that, you know, I should also bring up, because, you know, talking about your creative muscle and working these different styles, Harmony is also a project that you've been working on off and on for 25 years, and it's finally making its way to Broadway. So first, congratulations on that.
Thank you. I'll believe it when I see it. I know, they just sent me the final big ad. You know, that they're going to be in newspapers and all, and really, it's gorgeous, just gorgeous. And I said to Bruce, my collaborator, is this really happening? You know, because, we've been down so many disappointing roads, and it just killed us every single time. Mm-hmm. But we always got so close to getting to New York, to getting to Broadway, and we always hit some brick wall. We'd have to start all over again with a new producer. And every time we put it up around four times, and it always got great reviews, great reactions from audiences. Oh, the cast loved it. This is the greatest thing we've ever done. And then we would hit some brick wall that stopped us from coming to New York. But this time, this guy named Ken Davenport, who was our producer this time, he actually did it. He took us all the way to New York. And so, of course, on our fingers that we won't hit another brick wall this time.
Well, and for those who don't know what it is exactly, but this tells some of the story of the comedian harmonist from the 20s and 30s in Germany, correct?
Right. The comedian harmonist. Bruce saw a documentary on them one afternoon, amazing, and called me and said, I think I found it. The story that we might want to write a musical. Bruce Sussman, he wrote the book and the lyrics, and we've been best friends for many years. Mm-hmm. And I looked it up, it's a very interesting story. They were very, very talented. They were kind of a combination of the Manhattan Transfer and the Marx Brothers. They were comedians and harmonists. Their harmonies were very complicated, and they were funny, and they were slapstick, and they made sold millions of records when records weren't selling, but millions, especially in Germany and around the world. And they made 13 movies. And Bruce and I were saying, who are these guys? How come we don't know them? Mm. The reason we don't know them is the story of Harmony. It's a very compelling story. And it's funny and it's very moving. And we'll see if everybody else loves it the way we do.
Well, when you put this much passion in on something, I'm sure that's for a reason. So I don't doubt.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it myself. I am looking forward to it. I've been kind of following along on the videos that have been posted online. So that's up. And again, the show. And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Barry Manilow. And I know there's a few anniversaries that goes along with this year. I don't know if you incorporate them specifically into the show, but it's the 50th anniversary of your debut album.
I didn't know that. Thanks a lot for reminding me.
1973, 50 years ago. By the way, so what's, you know, I know that there is a storied history of that, how, you know, it didn't really take off at the beginning, and then people found it after your second album came out. But still, opening your debut album with that home recording of Sing It, seemed to me like that, you know, Like, what are the odds, right? That your very first track on your very first album is basically saying, all right, Barry, go and sing it. Like this is if an artist had said, all right, my first track, my first album is going to be Hello, and we begin.
Yeah.
Like, you must have had so much faith. It feels like you might have known something would happen eventually.
No, I never. Listen, I never had eyes to do any of this. Never. I was going to be in the background. You know, I was going to be an arranger like Nelson Riddle. I was going to be a composer. I was going to be a conductor. I never did I think about getting up on a stage and performing. It was the last thing on my mind. You know, I used to work for Bette Midler. I was a music director and arranger. And I was very happy in jobs like that. You know, after Bette, I was going to go on to the next person. But it didn't work out like that because I made a demo and Bell Records liked the demo and they put it out and it kind of bounced along. And then they gave me a record deal, but they wouldn't give me a record deal unless I, committed to performing on the road. But I had never done that. I thought, making a record of my stuff, sure. As a singer, come on, you're kidding. I called Bette and I said, Bette, I think I just got a record deal. And she said, doing what? I said, singing. She said, well, you don't sing.
Just so, wait.
I mean, that's how far away singing or performing was. Nobody thought that everybody was surprised that I got a record deal. But, Bell Records was looking for their guy because it was James Taylor and Carole King. It was the singer-songwriter of the year. Mm-hmm. So they were looking for their singer-songwriter, and I fit the bill. So I made that first album. I thought, it sold 5 copies. I thought, that'd be the end of that. And then Clive Davis took over Bell Records and made it into Arista Records. And he gave me Mandy, which, of course, I turned down because I am the songwriter. And he kept pushing this rock and roll song called Brandy and said, to do it right, it's a hit record. And he was right. I found the love song hiding in this song called Brandy. And, the rest is history.
Yeah, the different route that you could have taken, especially knowing that was originally maybe a rock demo. Because, you hear yourself finding your voice or just searching around maybe on with genres, having fun with genres on that debut album. I mean, the 70s guitar, A Flashy Lady. Like, could that have been a route that you might have also taken?
Yeah. No, I would stand in the vocal booth and scream for 15 minutes so my voice would sound more hoarse. It was crazy days. But what's interesting about that first album, because I come from accompanying singers in Broadway, and I love Broadway musicals and stuff, so I would accompany Bernadette Peters and Donna McKechnie, and they would always get the job because I'm a great accompanist. I'm not a great piano player, but I'm a great accompanist. So I did that for everybody. And then I come from cabaret, and cabaret, they would do stuff like that first cut on that album, that the Sing It, Barry. Mm-hmm. From cabaret, they would do stuff like that and medleys of songs you never heard of, songs about trees, and they would do a medley about trees, and that's what I grew up loving. And that's why that album is so diverse, because I thought, that's what everybody does. But everybody doesn't do that. I realized.
It makes for a great listen. And throughout your catalog, it's also the 25th anniversary of Manilow Sings Sinatra, which came out in 98.
Oh, God. Yeah. You're killing me. I love that album so much.
I went back and re-listened to that. I hadn't in a bit, but man, in the wee small hours of the morning, that one gets me.
Oh, God. Well, that wasn't me. That was Johnny Mandel. I mean, it was just such an honor to work with this guy. I went up to his place in Malibu, and we just, I had the greatest time running back and forth on the keyboard. No, let's try this chord. No, let's try that chord. He was the guy, man.
Yeah. Is there a trick to performing Sinatra that's different from others?
No, from my experience on the record, because I'm an arranger, just like Johnny Mandel, mm-hmm. I'm not as good, but I got good ideas. He's got great chord changes. Oh, my God, chord changes from heaven. But I've got good ideas. I had good ideas for the Sinatra album. You know, Come Dance With Me, Come Fly With Me. That's a really interesting arranger's idea. And, you know, but singing it, you know, no, I never even thought about Sinatra when I was doing it. Because you can't. I mean, he was one of a kind. You can't. You know, I mean, that would have just, like, I would have froze if I thought about that.
Well, I'm glad you did it the way you did it, certainly. It's a great record. And as is, like I said, all of them, I love the recent stuff with Night Songs, too. I do hope, I'm curious where you're going to go next. Do you know where you're going to go next, album-wise? It's been a few years
now. Yeah, I've got a pop album that's just about ready to go. I haven't done one like this in a million years. You know, it probably will sound like, you know, something from Mars to today's kids. But it's got melodies in it. Oh, my God. But it's got melodies and it's got good lyrics, too. Oh, no, good lyrics. It's got beautiful lyrics and it's got beautiful melodies and really nice arranging. And I sound good on it. And so that's the next project. And I'm also working on a Christmas album, and it may be too late. So I may release a couple of cuts from the Christmas album. You know, I'm telling you, I just don't stop. You know, I'm a million years old and I just don't stop.
Lucky for us that you don't stop.
Around.
Yeah.
No, you can hear I'm talking fast. I'm full of energy, and you know, I don't know. I'm waiting for to get old, and I don't seem to be doing that yet. Thank goodness.
Sometimes we just forget. We forget all about getting old, and. Thank goodness that's happening. Barry, it was such an honor to talk to you. August 21st, you'll be here in Louisville. I'm looking forward to seeing you there, too. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thanks, Kirby. I had a great time with you. Okay, bye-bye.
My thanks to Barry Manilow, currently on tour, and looking forward to those new records as well. Thanks to you again for checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with the entire series. Again, you do that, I'll give you 3 brand new interviews every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists, discover the new ones. Again, you can do so at Spotify and Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And then after that, head over to WFPK.org. So I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern, 4 hours of the best in new music, tons of your favorite classics. There's music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. A recent show of mine had the music of The Police, The Jam, Eddie Vedder, Prince, Radio Citizen, Willie Nelson, Bob Dylan, REM, Radiohead, The Smashing Pumpkins, Valerie June, Duran Jones, Patti Griffin, Angelique Kidjo, David Gray, Garbage, Liz Phair, Television, Tegan and Sarah, Peter Gabriel, and my interview with Janelle Monáe. That's just an example of what you get every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news, and you can catch me on the social media spots, any social media place. My address is at Kyle Meredith, so I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
GEICO makes it easy to get affordable renter's insurance in as little as 90 seconds. And then you'll start to wonder why everything else isn't so fast. Like, why does it take so long to do the dishes? A meal that's gone in 3 requires 45 minutes worth of dishes. Doesn't make sense. But it does make sense to get renter's insurance through GEICO. That way, that pile of dirty dishes and the other things you love are covered. Get more with GEICO.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.